Blog Talk Radio.
You really don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
You know, come on, John. Can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
Welcome to another edition of Making a Connection with your host, Soke Hassan Khalik. This is your co-host, Salim Al-Rashid. I'm going to bring in your host right now. Soke, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you, my brother?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed. Everything is good in this end, brother. Thank you again for holding down the fort as we embark upon another great show. You know, just reeling from our last show, which we started sort of a series, so to speak. We started talking about the virtues of the code of Bushido, and we had a great show last show, which, you know, which your contributions helped as well, you know, because all that know-how that we have out there in the martial art, we're willing to share as a family. So thank you for being on board.
Yes, sir. Anytime, brother. You got it. Anytime.
All right, brother. As we always say as we start this show, welcome to our martial art intellectual living room. We're here, we call this particular piece of the family Making a Connection, where I'm your host, Soke Hassan Khalik, along with my co-host, Hanshi Salim Al-Rashid, each and every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And even though it's our time here, we invite you around the country to be a part of our conversation as we explore some of the things that brings us to, as Dr. Powell would say, a higher level of understanding. This show is a part of a series of shows that come on Monday through Saturday. Saturday is our children's show, and which is doing some great work over there as well. But we want to make sure that everybody feels like they're family here. So we couldn't get started without you, and it wouldn't be family without you. So welcome. Welcome back to the show. Hanshi, you know, as we as I said earlier, we're going to try to turn this thing into a series. There's eight virtues to the code of Bushido. And had examined a very important piece. I don't think one's really more important than the other, but we examined loyalty last show. And for those
people
who don't know, you can archive back out shows and go back and listen to them. It was a great show. We had some good input from some of the callers in. And I see some callers on the line right now for our second part, and our second part today will be on honor. And that's a very big word. It should mean something to you. each and every time that we post one of these things, we ask it in the phrase of asking you a question. What is your definition of it? And I say that because I tend to think that maybe people are losing their way because they have not defined it in a specific way. I think we all kind of feel a little bit differently about some of these things. Would you agree, Hanshin?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what we've been doing is trying to make sure that everybody gets their input to it. So before we get into it, you know, let's open up like we normally do by seeing if anybody has any input for anything that's coming up on the calendar. Big kudos to Olsensei Lou Ferrer on his birthday. Had another birthday this last week. And also to our own beloved Grandmaster Darryl Sargent, who did a great seminar here in New York, came all the way from Oklahoma to do part to hold up his part of his legacy of from Grandmaster Billy Davis. And I think, you know, that sort of just really kind of segued right into our show, his thing last week, by talking about loyalty, because, you know, we defined it as being something that is more felt than it was an obligation. Do you remember that conversation, Hanshin?
Yes, sir, I do, and that was the general consensus of people that called in, that it's more of a feeling innate than it was something that you were supposed to do or an obligation.
Right, right. Because we can get sort of a little twisted sometimes in our definition of some of these things as we move forward. But, again, if you're interested in hearing what that conversation is about, you can go to docradio.net and to Blog Talk Radio and just pull up Making a Connection. You'll see the show there which dealt with the virtue of Bushido of loyalty. And today we're getting into honor. And before we go any further, did you have anything on your calendar, Hanshin, for the coming month?
No, I did not. But I wanted to basically piggyback on what you were talking about as far as GM Darryl Sargent. I attended both days, and it was wonderful experience.
You did come down. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, it was a wonderful experience, and I'm glad I came, and I'm honored that he shared some of his knowledge with the people that attended.
Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot to be said for that, for all those martial art warriors that stand for truth and stand for loyalty. And, you know, whether somebody's looking or not, you know, you're doing what you need to do, and big kudos to you. Wherever you are, and whatever system that you're about. And, you know, as we say in this family, whatever family that you're with, because if you're a martial artist and you got a family of some sort around you, and I'm often quoting a phrase that you're born with relatives, but you choose your family. And by that I mean that, you know, everybody that's a relative brother to you doesn't always act like one, father, sometimes even mothers and even closer relatives than that. That you know, don't really act the part. And what is your interpretation of those roles that those people are supposed to play in your life? And it's always interesting. If you sit down and ask 100 people, you get 101 answers. And I tend to think that maybe the same thing will happen here as we, you know, explore through these virtues. I'm always interested in hearing what the conversation is about. But before we get into that, I'm going to let you open it up, Hanshin. I know you kind of like had all week to think about this, and I had told you that I wanted to turn this into a series, and you were 100% behind me on this. You know, as we go forward, we're looking at honor as a virtue. Again, our number is 646-716-6825. What does that mean to you? Hanshin, do you want to start it out?
Yes. My definition, honor starts with intention. When I say that, I mean you can't make a good thing bad, a bad thing good. What I'm saying is, if my intentions from the heart and my soul towards a person or a deed is not of the utmost good, then whatever I did is not honorable. Let me see if I can explain this. It's like if I'm doing something because I think I have to do, I'm going to curry favor with some organization or person, then my intentions is not honorable. If I'm helping an old lady, older woman upstairs with her bags, and my intention is to see what she has in her house, that's not honorable. So people may have seen it as a good deed, but my intention was not honorable. That's my definition of it.
Okay, you know, and I think those are some good examples. I think you can, and I noticed you didn't keep it to straight to martial art, too, you know. And I kind of like wanted to explore it from both ends like that, because that word is used very frequently inside our society, almost on a day-to-day basis, you know. I think what comes to mind is I kept on saying it to myself over and over today. I kept coming up with words like Your Honor, as we know that, you know, we call a judge. Why do we call a judge Your Honor? You know, we've given him a title to an adjective, to a descriptive word. And
yes, sir.
We are saying that just by speaking to him, we're speaking to him with great reverence to say, well, listen, Your Honor, I really didn't do it or whatever. Why don't we say, listen, Your Judgeship? Why don't we say, listen, Guy in the Black Robe, listen, Magistrate, because that's really his title as being a judge. He's a magistrate, someone that is administering some administrative laws to you. But why do we call him Your Honor? And you know me, I'm always throwing a spot from the dictionary definition. And dictionary definition basically says it's a fairness, or that magic word again, integrity. And integrity, one of the highest beliefs and actions. To be honored in one's family is to have distinction, highest respect, worth and merit. These words are all talking about something that puts you above the standard of the norm. I can remember when I was growing up, how, you know, I was in the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and stuff like that, and I remember that being part of the pledge. On my honor, I do my best. You know, and it started
That's
out
right.
like that. Why would that be that way? Why are we trying to instill that in children at such a young age? I believe that the story that they told about George Washington and chopping down the cherry tree and so forth, that you know, the fable that's told behind that, that he was on his honor, that he gave an honest statement. You know, he didn't lie about it. They
yes,
noted
sir.
That with President Lincoln, and they called him Honest Abe, and Kev called his administration an honorable one. So, you know, I'm bringing out these things of how we in our society use that word. And it gains even higher reverence when we talk about martial arts. It just goes on and on how we put on in it. I don't tend to think that there's too many. If you took 100 martial arts, those are coons and pledges and creeds, and put them, laid them out side by side, I believe you come up with better than 50, better than half.
I think so.
With the word will be honor in there somewhere. Would you agree?
I think so, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So it
yes,
means that much to us, and it means that much to us from martial artists, and this is a family show, but it's a martial arts show as well. Let's see if we can get somebody else to help us. I see we have somebody in the back office. Let's see if they want to make a comment on this. Again, 646-716-6825. That's our number to call in, and our subject matter today is honor, virtues in the code of Bushido. We're on our second one. We're going to try to touch on the other six and see if we can get a common denominator. And the reason why I say that is because the code of Bushido is a code that warriors lived and died by. So why would they put things like integrity? Why would they put things like honor? Why would they put things like loyalty inside of something that they pledged themselves to do? And you have to ask yourself a question. If they're going to live by this, What is the true meaning that they gave by it? To live and die by something definitely gives you a level of, I would think, importance, you know, if I'm going to live by it and die by it. You know, and I don't tend to think that warriors of old got up each morning and read the Code of Bushido as if it was a book. I think they lived it and they knew it. It lived in their hearts. What do you think, Hanshi?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's ingrained in most military codes, and you can be drummed out of most military organizations for lack of honor.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's a great point that you make, because a dishonorable discharge is to say that you have disgraced the unit, and more
yes.
so, and when it comes to the military, you disgrace the country.
Yes,
sir. So that's a great example right there to say you can get drummed out in the military, that the military of all sorts put honor high up on the mark. Key. Do we have anybody in the back office who wants to make a comment?
Yes, sir. We have Kevin Thomas.
Okay, hello, sir. Okay.
Greetings, gentlemen. Greetings.
Greetings. Thanks for chiming in, man. Great. Thanks for being part of the second part of the series. I know we had you on the first part, and thank you again because your comments definitely held weight to the subject matter. Today we're just going to explore a little bit more into another part of it. We're going to turn this into an eight-part series. But today we're discussing honor. And even though it lives outside the code of Bushido, Hanshi Salim just made a great point by saying that you can be drummed out of the military for not having honor. And to have a dishonorable discharge is definitely a level of disgrace. You want to give us some feedback on your definition of the word?
Sure. This is kind of fresh in my mind because later this year we have Book of Five Rings coming out on audio. Mm. So I want to take you guys back to an era where samurai, they wrote the Code of Bushido and actually would live and die by their code and by their sense of honor. And so what Musashi said about it, he said, by victory gained in crossing swords with individuals or in joining battle with large numbers, we can attain power and fame for ourselves and honor for our Lord.
Mm.
So he speaks with like such frankness throughout the book about taking human life and you know how that can actually bring honor, and actually defeat in battle would actually be a cause for seppuku, harikari, killing yourself. So
yes, sir.
These guys took it seriously, but you're right, these guys didn't wake up reading the Code of Bushido, because the Code of Bushido was actually written during the decline of the samurai,
mm-hmm.
not until the late 1700s, and they wrote it actually as a plea for relevance, as they were being replaced by other things, and they were still trying to show, hey, look, we're still relevant. We're not just, we're not just barbarous, murderers.
I think that's a very important point you just brought up, Kev, because with the code, it showed that, right, it did what they did had a purpose. And they weren't just, as you say, murderers has often been said that the masterless samurai, the Ronin, had no honor. But that wasn't true neither, because even he had a code. So when we talk about this thing of giving it purpose, earlier in the conversation, we talked about the dictionary definitions. And I read a couple, but I'm looking also here that it went on to say, it gave an example, it says, he has earned the highest position of honor. So if someone was to say that to you in a sentence, what do you think that they're saying, or what are they trying to get across to me by saying either your name or someone has earned the highest position of honor?
Yeah, so honor means carrying yourself in a way that you don't bring embarrassment to yourself, your family, your martial arts lineage. In the case of a judge, the reason we call him Your Honor is because he's supposed to be above petty differences of class, race, sexism, the way a guy speaks English with an accent or not with an accent.
Yes, sir.
Judge is supposed to be, above those things. So that's why, we call him Your Honor. The problem is, of course, is that a lot of them are dishonorable.
Yeah, exactly. But I just thought it was kind of strange that maybe even some people are saying that and don't even know why, perhaps, we place the word honor on a judge. And we don't really even know this person, but we know what he supposedly represents. And as you just said, we're believing that he's above all of the petty things, and he's the common denominator. And it's with that honor that we entrust in him to make a fair decision. And I tend to think that that's kind of like what we're saying inside the personalities of individuals. But as we go a little further, I'm just listening in depth to your conversation, and you said something earlier about even in death. And so what is this that makes honor still be prevalent in the death of someone, to die an honorable death? Or even to fight in battle with honor, but still not lose the dignity of honor, even though you may have succumbed to death. So what is it that you think that honor can follow us even into death?
Well, I think that it's important for us to remember that we know each other through our actions, not through our words. A person can lie with his words, but your actions will never lie. And whether you claim to subscribe to the cult of Bushido or claim to subscribe to a certain religion, this is very relevant. You see it in religion. I was raised as a Catholic until I rejected that religion in my teenage years. Very unpopular because my mother was a devout Catholic, went through elementary through high school in Catholic school. And I told her, that, listen, they're not offering a legitimate spiritual perspective. She disagreed, this and that, and now you see what happened. This is religion at the highest levels of the religion, and they actually put it in writing, had some Latin name for it, about not turning felony child molesters and rapists, not turning them over to the authorities, but harboring them, sending them to other parishes so they could become repeat offenders. So there's nothing, there's nothing Christian about that. That is anti-Christ. That's anti-Christian.
Mm.
It's the same thing. If you claim to be a Christian, that means you're just supposed to follow the teachings of the teachings and example, the teachings and examples set by Jesus Christ. So how can you claim to be a Christian and continue to cast a vote for warmongers?
Well, good point. I say good point, and I'm glad you told us that in a roundabout way of story that way, because you gave us evidence of your claim and your reasons for thinking the way you do. But the point that I see you made real prevalent here was that a poignant point was that you based it off of something, and you, how could that be, you said. You said, how could that be the act of a Christian that's more anti this? Well, how would you know it's anti unless you know what that thing stood on? And if that thing stands on honor and integrity, then I base it off of that. And I'm glad you said that, and you started out by saying that a person is judged more on their actions more than what they're saying that they're going to do. So I tend to think that, taking it back to Bushido, it was all about your actions there. I often, when I read stories about the samurai warriors and stuff like that, remember, there was no really mass transportation. I mean, when they were sent down on a mission, it would be months at a time. A lot of time they were alone. And perhaps they could have misconstrued their reasons for being what they were or doing what they had to do. If you can imagine spending 60 days of rain and in the mud and whatever and trying to find somebody in the dark and getting bit by animals and all kinds of things going on in the woods while you're trying to get to this mission, you can easily lose your focus as to why you're going to do it. And I could just see today's mindset of some individuals going, well, listen, ain't nobody going to know if I did it or not. I'll just turn around and go back. I've been gone 3 months. And think that that is an honorable thing. And I think Selena, when she and I were talking about this not long ago, about how you couldn't just bring yourself to tell that lie to yourself. So my thing in saying this and what I'm trying to get at is, do you think that being honorable to yourself is the first code of honor?
I do. Absolutely. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, to thine own self be true. And
yes, sir.
The struggle for self-expression, the struggle to let the authentic you shine through, it's considerable because we're pressed in so many different ways to conform. But I just want to throw something else out that occurred to me because I'm probably going to forget if I don't throw it out now, and then you can come back to it if you want to. But how honorable was it for that first and second wave of instructors to come from Japan and Korea and to come to the United States and knowingly, consciously teach a facsimile of the art that they were taught? And you can't
I'm going to answer that question. I'll let you finish, but I'm going to answer what I believe, why they thought it was honorable to do it that way. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to me that wasn't honorable at all, and they can't say that they did it because for commercial reasons, because it doesn't matter how intense the workout is. If you sell the student on the benefits of it, they're going to buy into it.
Okay, but I think that takes us almost into part two of what we're going to do, but I'll give you my quick I'll offer you my quick explanation to it because I don't know, and this is just what I'm thinking, is that when you start talking about honor, it starts from someplace. To see if a person is honorable to a code, you have to go into the code and really examine what the code is asking them to serve. Because to have honor is to provide a service to something, to a method of thought. And so what happens, let's take the Japanese master who came to the United States knowing that they were teaching only part of it. Yeah, it was honorable to them because they were showing honor to the original thing. it would have been dishonorable to the original thing to be able to violate the code, because the original code was to never violate it. So when they came here, they didn't take an honorable thing and make it dishonorable. They based it off of the original thing that they were honorable to. And so I can't sort of blame them for that, because I tend to think at some point in life, I think every human being is going to be able to serve the original cause in which he's honest to. So now I go back to ask my original question. Should the first level of honor be served to yourself? And as you just simplistically said it, to thy own self be true. But I tend to think it must start from there. You must be honorable to yourself. Now, how do I know if that's honorable? I now have to get into the levels of integrity that I see that you perform on a daily basis. I could be in your presence 5 minutes and tell if you're an honorable person, because I'm not judging it about as it to me, the organization, or whatever. I'm looking at how honorable you are to yourself, and I mean some basic rudimentary thing. And please do not take this wrong, people who are listening in that may not agree with me, but that's what my show is about. If you call it, you have every right to give me your opinion, but I'm just using this as a point of reference. But if you are a person that's smoking and alcohol and other substance abuses and stuff like that, I find it hard to I put your honor in suspect. And I say that because you only have one body. This body was given to you as a gift. And then whoever that you call a creator, your honor should come from within. Because that one life that was given to you can easily be taken back, and it will be. But to serve your life in an honorable way by keeping the temple of your body as right as you possibly can, because there's enough deterrence around here that's trying to get you out of here anyway on a daily basis. So why would you add to that intentionally and try to hurt yourself? So I'm not saying that you're a bad person. Believe me, my mother smoked. I love my mother, okay? So let's not get it twisted here. I'm just saying, and I'm not even questioning her integrity towards herself. I'm just saying if I had to base it off of something, I would start by saying, I would look how you're treating yourself. Because I would tend to think that somewhere along the line, maybe you would have some disregard for me and something I'm doing if you don't have the utmost respect for yourself. That is just my comment. I hope I made my point there without going around too far in a circle. But Hashi, you know, I sort of cut right in there. I asked Kevin that, but I was asking you, I wanted to ask you too as well. How does honor to yourself come into this thing?
Well, I look at it, and I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to a movie that was recently out, because that's one of the things that popped in my head. It's called The Book of Eli. Oh, and his mission, what he thought was his mission, was to carry this truth to a new, we would say a new world or a righteous world. And in his mind, he would not give up, deter, die until this mission was completed. And when he died, the first thing that came to my mind, he died an honorable death. You see, but he was true to himself. When he was offered women, he didn't take it. When he was offered strong drink, he didn't take it. When he was offered anything that took him off his honorable mission, he denied it to himself until his mission was completed. To me, that movie was very profound, you know, regardless of religious background, whatever. So it was a very profound movie. To me, that was honor. He honored himself and by completing his mission.
Well, you know, that movie, thank you for bringing that movie up. I believe it was a great example. To most people, you would have to watch it 3 or 4 times to really get how heavy it is. That movie was loaded with the code of Bushido.
Yes.
It also, it threw you. I'm going to tell you how it threw me. It made me believe that the Book of Eli was a lost book in the many books of the Bible, the Testaments, the Torah, the Quran, all of the books, the holy books.
Yes.
And because we know of missing books in each and every one of those holy texts. So it made me think that this was, you know, the person. Here's the great part about that movie to me. We're talking about the book, the movie, The Book of Eli with Denzel Washington, for those people who are listening. So you can go back and look this up and maybe even call back to the show and let us know what you what your take on it is. But he was a conduit, and he didn't even know it. And the reason why I said that movie was loaded with Bushido, because much like in the Samurai Warriors, they were given many, many missions on a need-to-know basis. They didn't know what they were going to do when they were told to take a message to here to there or to go and assassinate this lord or whatever or protect this. They didn't know. It was a blind mission. But they didn't serve it off the basis of it. They served it off of the code. So Denzel Washington in this movie was a conduit, thinking that he had to remember this book and that he had to protect this book. But the end of the story is, and I guess I'm just going to tell it because maybe this is the way I got it out of the book. Maybe that ain't the real ending. But at the end of the book, at the end of the movie, I hope I'm not spoiling this to anybody, but he was the book.
Yes.
You see, he called himself protecting something, but he was the book. And so because, as you just said, that he was loyal to himself and honorable to what he represented, it wasn't until the end that when everybody was trying to steal this book from him and they tried to assassinate him and they had armies coming after him and everything, when they finally caught up with him and the book that he had in his hand was destroyed, they thought it was destroyed, but he was the living testament of the book. I say that because,
Thank you.
And inside of the code of Bushido, the warrior is the living testament of all these virtues that it's supposed to be: politeness, honorable, the legacy, the integrity, the loyalty. You are the book. You're the walking, living testament of that. One of my favorite movies are the Samurai movies. I'm a real big fan of them. And Ogami Ito is one of my favorites, you know, for those who don't know, it's Lone Wolf series. And, you know, he would just drop these jewels all over the place in the movies. You know, it's not one of them action Chinese flicks. I like them, too, but you got to really appreciate the Japanese Samurai flicks because they give you so much to think about. And one of the things that he said is that, and I think it's Lightning's Forge of Death, before he went to battle with this warrior, he denied this warrior battle with him because the warrior came to seek him out because, you know, it was supposed to be such great honor to be able to take Ogami Ito out. So he meets him on the battlefield like he always do because he's a ronin. You know, he's like, hey, anybody come, you got to go, that kind of thing. But they meet him on he meets him on the field, and he says, they went to draw swords, and he puts the sword back in his sheath. And he says, I have no wish to see another warrior spirit not walk this earth with me, and left him alive. Mm. So this is what I'm saying. When you can recognize the code in someone else, you stand down. You know, we have this expression, when my feet point towards Mecca, then you give me path, or, you know, towards righteousness. We say, if you give me path and step aside, let me continue on my mission until you're able to walk in that path in the direction of righteousness. So this is a warrior that recognized the code in someone. This guy came to do battle with him and take his life, but he recognized the code of Bushido that lived in him and gave him another value to be able to add to his life before he went on. And there's many. If you watch that series, you'll see there's many. There's one where he's fighting and his son is on the side and the other warrior offers to take care of his son if he loses his life, if Ogami Ito loses his life in the battle. And he says, Ogami Ito tells him, no need for that. Don't have to worry about him. He's already walked the path of a warrior. He knows the direction. You know, it's just stuff like that. It really lends truth to what we talk about with the code, because like I was saying earlier, in our society, we try to instill this in a lot of our children and a lot of our people in society. As I mentioned earlier, the Boy Scouts, we put it in pledges, we let people hear it, different things. Even in the national anthem, it talks about a level of honor to duty and country. The Marines live by that code. It's right in their code of arms. If you look hard enough, you'll see it where people are trying to perpetuate that. But you have to ask yourself the question, why? Why is honor so important in our society? Jeff, you want to give me a sound bite on that?
Well, sure. I've got to bring up the Red Sun with with Charles Bronson and Toshiro Mifune.
Good movie.
So, yes.
But let me come back to that. If I can, I got to talk about what you said about the substance abuse thing, because, I mean, that has a lot to do with values. So, I mean, are your values life-affirming values? Do you have a lifestyle or do you have a death style?
Mm.
So as a former social worker with the city of New York, I've seen so much, drug abuse and whatever. And the two worst, in my opinion, are alcohol and tobacco because, no one has ever died from heroin overdose, but there have been many cases of people dying from heroin withdrawal. But many people have died from alcohol withdrawal. So in many ways, alcohol and tobacco are the two worst and the most pervasive. So, but when you can look at your life in terms of simple disciplines and simple errors in judgment. Simple discipline could be getting up, throwing your 100 kicks a day, and what would be the result of that projected out over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months? The result is going to be proficiency. A simple error in judgment is you pick up that cigarette the first time and you smoke it, you don't drop down and have a massive heart attack right then and there, even though that is without a doubt what's waiting for you 40 years down the road. But because you don't have that immediate adverse reaction, a person can make an error in judgment and then do it again, do it again, do it again, and now the person has formed a habit, and a habit that's very hard to break. I know people that have got off crack cocaine and still can't get off the nicotine. So it has a lot to do with values. It has not so much to do with intellect, because I know some very smart drug addicts and, chain smokers. And, even talking to them, like, listen, how did it occur to you that putting a needle in your arm was like, when did that become your idea of fun? Because it's so foreign to me. And so it's not intellect, but what it has to do is consciousness, and consciousness is definitely tied to your values. It's like in that movie where the samurai's wife got killed, and he had his son, so he put the ball and he put the sword out, and he said, listen, my son is going to have to choose now, life or death. And he goes, the ball, I'm taking him out, and the son chooses the sword. And that's what consciousness does. Consciousness and your values will determine if there's a pornographic magazine in front of you, or the Book of Five Rings in front of you, and the book As a Man Thinketh. It's your level of consciousness will determine whether or not you're going to pick up one of the progressive books or whether or not you're going to pick up the porno magazine.
I like that.
I'm glad you said that, because I appreciate all your explanations. Well, what I wanted to put in there real quick is that I really want to put in there that you kind of answered the question for me when you started out. You said it's a lifestyle or a death style. Now, I'm going to go off the word style, because styles come and go. We don't have the same styles we had when we were in the 60s, definitely not in the 70s, the 80s, or 90s, and God, only God knows what kind of style they were now. They think showing it behind is actually a great style. I'd rather go back to wearing polka dots than looking like a Huggy Bear walking on platform shoes, which they didn't think was a good style at the time. But at least I wasn't being offensive to my own personal inner being. My point in saying that is that styles can change on it. I believe that what I was saying about the value of a person, the person's value being suspect, as you just said, whether or not you put the Book of Five Rings in front of you or you put whatever else in front of you. It's a style. It's a decision that you can make on the turn of a dime. And once I make you aware of it by writing on the back of a pack of cigarettes to everyone that you once I make you aware of it, of showing you all the people even in your family that died from that, once I made you aware of it as a fact that it leads to all kinds of skin cancers and diseases and everything, and that you are a dereliction of the one gift that you have because you don't get another life, I don't see how I could still say that your habits should control you so much that you would commit suicide. Now, there's a thing about conscious suicide and suicide that you allow something else to coax you into. A conscious suicide is that you have turned off all of your values. You've personally done that. And that's difficult for us all to do. That's why most of us, when we get into a stressful situation, you know, we say a couple of words that don't sound nice or whatever. We may bang something around and throw something around and, you know, and shout things out the window in the car, but we don't kill ourselves. Start taking these values and you start turning them around. You lose all of them. You become a conscious suicide, much like the Columbine young people that killed themselves inside, so therefore it meant nothing for them to go in there with automatic weapons and to take everyone else's life and feel no remorse from it. But this suicide that you allow someone else to convince you into is much more of a death, because it's a death on more levels than one, because you become now the walking dead. So now going back to what I was saying about value, you can't possibly think that any of those people are walking around with any sense of the word honor, because it had to be taken completely out of their vocabulary of life, because they don't honor themselves. They don't honor the very body, the one body that they have. You don't get a chance to even envy another person's body and have it. So that's why I use that as an example and started from the body. And what I'm really trying to do is find a common denominator of how you can know something about somebody without knowing nothing about them. And the examples I talked about in the movies there was just that. This is a person who came to me, someone on a battlefield that came to really do battle with them and take their life. But I was still able to recognize a value in that person that they didn't even know that I could see. I didn't say they didn't know they didn't have it, but that I can see. And I tend to think that we as martial artists, I know, Kev, you've experienced it yourself, as well as you, Hanshi. I know myself, I was on a job for over 15 years, and they never knew I took martial arts. An incident happened, brought it out in a conversation, and everybody went, oh, I knew it was something about you. What is this something that they knew? You know, because I didn't stoop to certain levels on different things like that, and I don't have to do that because I recognize the good in people. So, you know, it's personified in religions all over the place. It's personified in codes and methods of dealing with things all over the place. But how many people are really stepping up to assess themselves to what they're saying? And that's kind of like what I'm saying. You can say the words all day long, but how much are you really moving towards those words? And this is why I believe that today's music is so offset, because the youth are moving towards those words, and none of them are honorable. None of them have a level of distinction. As we said on our last show about loyalty, they do recognize it because, you know, I get the artist confused. You know, y'all straightened me out last time. Who was it, Little Somebody? These Girls Ain't Loyal. What was it?
I think it was Little Wayne or one of those cats.
Yeah, Little Wayne or somebody. Y'all got me straight on whoever it was. But even they're using the word loyalty, knowing that it has a value in it, but to what level? So I wouldn't be surprised if they made a song about honor, and it would be a top number one hit too, because, you see, the virtue is much more stronger than they know. They know what loyalty feels like or what it should feel like, and they would like to feel it. They know what honor feels like, and they would like to feel it, but they're not moving towards that. And so I think it's easier for us because we sort of live the code one way or another, and a lot of us have paid some big prices and to live a life of loyalty to a code.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to interject. Speaking on this, you know, these rappers, not just rappers. I'm not picking on rappers only, but I'm just saying how words can be manipulated and distorted in their meanings. You know, it used to be in the early 70s. You know, it came about that, you know, if you were a Muslim and you were making a verbal contract to a person, you say, my word is bonding to Allah. And once you said that, I had no problem believing what you said, because I'm believing that, you know the consequences of uttering those words. You know, the same thing, you know, when these people say, there's no honor or whatever, as far as a woman's concerned, they talking about what they quote-unquote say a ride or die female. That's not the word they use, but a female. You know, so it's twisted. The language is twisted. And
yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because words are just that. They're words, and then they can be said in different languages and even have different meanings and definitely different degrees of sincerity to them. And so, you know, but I take you back to coin another phrase, that said, there's no honor among thieves. Now, that one there, that expression is older than everybody on this line, and it's been around a long time, and it is really held up to the test of time. And this is why no drug cartel can last. This is why no means of doing anything illegal lasts for a long period of time. And I don't mean illegal just by the laws of man, by the legal laws of the Creator. Because basically, you know, as Dr. King said, the truth rises all the time. You know, it's suppressed by the lie. And that you have to understand that not being honorable is a lie. It's a lie. This is, again, back to how when we stand in front of a judge, we stand before an honorable person, and to lie to an honorable person is a crime all by itself. Because
that's
this
right.
person is supposed to be the neutral ground. So I say again, when we say something like there's no honor amongst thieves, we got to understand what are they saying here? That a thief can't trust a thief? Why? Because a thief has no moral principle about what he does. And so why am I supposed to believe you when you will do anything to take? And so honor don't fit in there. So I'm just trying to find how honor fits in our society and how it don't fit, how we trust somebody based off something and how we don't. And this can come right down to, as you said before, your own mate, someone you live with, someone that perhaps gave birth to your children or whatever, or maybe even your father. You know, what's honorable about that? There are a lot of people would think that that have wayward fathers. What I mean by wayward is that their fathers weren't in their life for a long time. Would tend to think that their fathers are dishonorable because it wasn't an honorable thing to leave their family like that. And there's no one can convince some of these children who are now adults that their father was an honorable person. There's many things that you can remember about a person, and we talked about that earlier in the conversation. And one of the things that we would like to be remembered for is committing honorable acts. If we talk about martial art, Hanshi, can you just start it out and just tell me what would be an honorable act in martial art that would serve a code, maybe even not Bushido, but just an honorable act. So just give our listeners a little bit of a direction about what we're talking about here.
An honorable thing would be to, number one, keep your word, to be known as a person, not man, but a person of your word. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. An honorable thing is when you walk into another person's dojo, dojang, kun, you carry yourself in a manner that is not offensive. When I say that, I mean in a manner that doesn't put this chi sensei or grandmaster on edge, that you're here to swipe students or whatever, that you're here in an honorable way. Not that thing where I come in peace, but when you leave, that person said, now, you can come back to my dojo anytime. That they welcome you back because your spirit was honorable. You came in there with honorable intent. You know, that to me sets you apart from a lot of modern martial artists that I know, I've come in contact with, not that I know.
Okay. Kevin, help me add to my laundry list here. Honorable thing to do as a martial artist.
Okay, here's something, honorable. But again, honorable to me is you can't fake it. You don't do it because you're trying to be honorable. You just do it because, whatever, these are your values, this is where your heart is. So 13 months ago, I went to visit one of my instructors, the Grandmaster, I said to the Kevin Thompson. And I was basically trying to give him reasons to live. And I was talking to him about the impact that he's had on my life, and he was really blown away by it. He was shocked by the things that I remembered and that I was telling him. So many, many years ago, when he started out teaching, he was teaching, as we all know, the AA system. When Amuasa Karim Abdallah, we came back from the boxing thing and went to visit the dojo, he basically didn't recognize the art that Kevin was teaching anymore and said, listen, you can't call this, the KA system. So at that point, he changed the name and called it American Karate Do. So I teach an art today which is called American Bushido, which means the way of the warrior in America. Kevin taught American Karate Do. I'm not a black belt under Kevin, so I couldn't take that name. But I said, I chose that name as a way of honoring your teachings. And like I said, you know, he was blown away by that. And, you know, I think that's you know, was one good way that I honored an instructor that had an impact on me.
So to show the highest level of integrity on that level, to show that, you know, that this is what I've done, this is what I'm doing, what you've done for me just through living the code that you live. So that there's some residual that comes from that, whether or not a person knows it. Would you agree?
Yes,
absolutely.
Great. And thank you for that story, Kev, because, you know, we could see a lot about how these things are developed through some of the stories that we have personally lived. You know, but as I go back and, you know, I go back to my dictionary again, because it makes me think, and the way that these words are put out there and in the root words and things like that, they make me think, and if this means this, then why doesn't that mean this and more of that that it came from? Because the word honor comes from honesty. And so we kind of all know what it is to be honest, or like to know, or we've been taught that even earlier than we were taught what honor is. We've been taught to be honest. I can remember distinctly my grandmother speaking those words to me about being honest and the virtues of being honest. So even though the word honor comes from honesty, are those two connected in a way that one should serve the other, that if you're an honest person, that you should be an honorable person? Anybody?
I think so. I think so. I think they go hand in hand. I think they're inseparable.
Okay, and so if you're an honest person, then you should earn the right to be, so you say that you serve one honor. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
I really want to get your feed on this, because if there's any gap in between the two that go from one to another, then we need to explore that, because we want to be true to ourselves when we're offering ourselves an explanation. Because if we're not honest to ourselves in something, then we just serve as ourselves to make ourselves feel good about saying you're an honest person and it was an honorable thing. And then you're very dishonest. I think Kev brought out the point about the Catholic priesthood. You know, again, honorable people. Those titles are honorable titles, bishop, popes, whatever. They're honorable titles, but those are not honest people. You see,
yes.
So should being honest be a criteria to be called honorable?
Absolutely,
yes. Yes, it should, yes.
And if that is the criteria, isn't it a little bit easier to see if a person is honest? And what I mean by that is, as I go back to what I said originally about being honest to yourself. I mean, I would like to see somebody be honest to themselves before they start making me these promises about how honorable they're going to be to me. You know, to me, it doesn't make no sense, because, like you said, Kevin, to thy own self be true. If you're not going to be true to yourself, then what makes me think in my wildest dreams that, you know, when push comes to shove, you ain't going to throw me under the bus? But that's not an honorable thing. See, what I'm saying is that not so much how can I see this, but how can I let a code be GPS for me in my life? Help me get to the destinations I want, because every day of my life I am going to be questioned about the path that I've taken, and is it an honest path towards whatever it is? Is it an honest path to going towards the job that I want? Is it an honest path towards setting up my retirement? Even though there are many dishonest things on the left or the right of me. As, you know, there's an expression that says the path of a righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquity of the selfish.
That's right.
But
That's
I say right. That is because we are being challenged left and right and day in, day out, to be able to question and to break down my level of integrity, which is connected to my level of honor, which is connected to my level of honesty. So something is trying to make me act in a dishonest way, which compromises my honor. And this goes back to what we were saying about the samurai warrior. And as we said earlier about the Book of Eli, what they're trying to say, they wrote many things to try to get him to compromise his integrity, which was which is connected to his honesty, which is connected to his honor. Am I making my point here?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure we're on the right show, which is called Making the Connection, but you go ahead.
No, but I'm saying when, even amongst thieves, you know how all of us grew up, and I've heard thieves, con artists say, well, you know, they're talking about this guy, man, don't have no character, and he don't have no honor. He's a thief. And this is what was said. I'm a thief. What did you expect? You know,
But that goes back to kind of like the story of the nature of the character of the individual, a story which I'm well known for telling, especially in my youth, about the story of the scorpion and the duck. I think a lot of people change the animals in that story, but, it, you know, the story is that the duck asked the scorpion asked the duck to take him across the river because he couldn't swim, but he ride on his back. And the duck says, well, why would I do that? You're a scorpion. You'll sting me. He said, and then the scorpion returned and said, well, why would I do that? If I sting you, we drown. So the duck thought about it a while and said, well, you know what? That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
He set the scorpion on his back. Halfway over the lake, the scorpion stung him. And as they were going down, the duck turned to the scorpion and said, well, how could you? And the scorpion said, I'm a scorpion.
That's my nature.
My nature.
That's my nature.
So, again... Again, you have to look at what it is, what it is, you know, and these people are just going to do what they do. As you just said before, a thief is a thief. And so, but to be true to this conversation, as I said earlier to Kev, this lifestyle, you can take the lifestyle and then change it around. Our good brother, Minister Malcolm X, is self-proclaimed thief, a self-proclaimed street person, but turned around on a dime and became one of the greatest leaders that I still follow his philosophy to this day.
Yes,
so even
sir.
Though I never
yes,
did those sir. Things that he did in the beginning of his life, but I am truly a Malcolmite in the sense of his philosophies and what he was able to have an epiphany about. And I think that the point I was trying to make when I was saying that to you, Kev, is that everybody has that kind of will and that kind of power. It's about what are the things that you're doing on a daily basis to strengthen your will to be able to stand up against the outrageous fortunes, as they say. So we have to give ourselves credit for the God-given right to be able to stand up and be the best person that we can be on a daily basis. And I think honor leads the way in that. If we get up with a level of honor and integrity about ourselves, and maybe write those words on the mirror, on the bathroom mirror, so when you come out the shower, and it's all steamed up, that's the first thing you see. And if you start your day listening to that instead of Lil Wayne, maybe, you know, you may have a better outlook on life. That's just my opinion on that. But again, 646-716-6825, that's our number to call in. Kev, man, love you like a brother, man. Thank you for calling in. We're getting ready to take a quick break, and we'll see if we have anybody else on the line, but we'll come back and see if we can just explore this subject matter a little bit more. This is our show, Making the Connection, and our subject matter today is in search of the word and the definition of honor. What does it mean to be an honorable person and to live an honest life in an honorable way? And again, as I said earlier, what is it about honor that can follow you right to your death and still live after you? Again, 646-716-6825. Hanshi, take us to commercial. We'll be right back in about maybe 2 minutes. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Moses Powell. I've been studying jiu-jitsu for the last 20 years. I'm the master for Render Visitation. Mm-hmm. And at this particular time, I'm a senior master in the art of jiu-jitsu te and jiu-jitsu ryu.
.radio.net presents to you some of the most deadly jiu-jitsu masters in the world. Trained in the vicious urban inner-city street combat system of Sanukas Ryu Jiu-Jitsu, this art was created by the legendary Dr. Moses Powell, the father of American contemporary jiu-jitsu and the greatest martial artist of the 20th century. This network brings together 7 radio shows 6 nights a week, starting with Monday nights at 9 p.m. Fitness and wellness guru Maya Detrena, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. each one teach one, with the Pia Master himself, Grandmaster Urban Muhammad, and his protege, Professor Terence Hale, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Modern Combat Masters, hosted by the inheritor of GM Billy Davis Jiu-Jitsu, guru of his own Filipino system, and Sanukis Master, Grandmaster Daryl Sargent, and his co-host, Sifu Rosita De Jesus. Thursday nights at 9 p.m. is Professor Tom Curry's radio talk show, a Kenpo Master and Professor of Sanukis Ryu, 20 years law enforcement, senior tactical training instructor for intelligence retired, and author of the official Sanukis Ryu Jiu-Jitsu testing and training curriculum. Friday nights at 8 p.m. is Making the Connection, hosted by the president of DocRadio.net, grandmaster in the art of Sanukis Ryu and Soke of Kuroshi Kaikan Martial Arts System, and president of the Family of Sanukis Organization, Soki Haisan Kalik, and his co-host, Shihan Farouk Gibbs. Saturday at 5 p.m. is Kids Kick Keeping It in Control, hosted by Shodan Samantha Mo Hayasa Namsaran. And the Sanukis Bloodline Brotherhood will be aired once a month on one of the six shows hosted by Fukan Shabazz. All of these shows can be linked to online by typing in docradio.net or listening live at the scheduled time by dialing 646-716-6825. DocRadio.net is also proud to present DocMagazine.net, the world's largest martial art magazine dedicated to Dr. Moses Powell, Sanukis Ryu Eye-to-Eye Jiu-Jitsu, Urban Tactical Street Self-Defense, and Streetology. Please join our Facebook group by typing in docradio.net and follow us on Twitter by typing docradio.net. Thank you for your support, and in the words of Doc, eye to eye, heart to heart, to the wall and back, us.
Welcome back, family. Kevin, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Soke dropped out for a second. I'm going to try to bring him back in. But, you know, I was thinking during the break, you know, with the word honor. And, you know, there's many ways that they put it in, you know, honoring your marriage vows, honoring your ancestry, you know, and it's like Soke said, it's inbred and ingrained in a lot of organizations or throughout life. You're raised with it for the most part. I remember my father telling me when I was a child, he says, if all you have is your word, that's all you need. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me all my life. I think it's the way he put it. I think it's the way the adults in the neighborhood spoke of him. And I just took it on to my own personality, you see. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the qualities that we talk about here are just not ingrained enough, you know, throughout our society. And these are qualities, these principles to live your life, how to give your life guidance. They have to flow through you from your philosophy of life, your philosophy of living, because it's your philosophy that controls your mind. Your philosophy controls your mindset. And by mindset, I mean a collection of thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. And that mindset, that collection of thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs controls the actions that you take in life. The actions control the results that you produce. And the results that you produce ultimately control your destiny. So, I mean, in American Bushido, I teach my students the philosophy of victorious living. That's what I call it. And, you know, simply stated, it's that, you know, victorious thinking leads to victorious actions, you know, which leads to victory. You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, the way I grew up and I've seen, you know, you speak of honor and you speak of iniquities on the left and the right of you if you're trying to lead a righteous life or honorable life. And all it took for me and several brothers of mine, when I say brothers, I mean not blood brothers, but people I grew up with, to see what was going on the left and the right of us. And we knew we didn't want to go that way. You know, like you say, you know, you have conversation with heroin addicts, and I had the same thought at what would possess you to go out and stick a needle in your arm? You know, and I could never know because I've never been there. And as I engaged him in conversation, it's like, hey, you know, I was hanging out, influence, boom, 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 boom. Next thing I knew, I was hooked. Wow. So I know I don't want to go that way. You know, I'm gonna bring in a host, Soke Hassan. Soke,
yes,
are you
sir,
there?
Brother. I think what you were saying holds a lot of relevancy. I think we have maybe about one or two more people in the back office. We're going to start bringing them in as well. Again, just in continuation for those people who are just coming on the show, our show today is about one of the virtues in the Code of Bushido, which is honor. And I base it off of that because, you know, we're a martial arts talk show here. But honor can be really exemplified in other parts of our life, as many of the brothers have just explained, by being able to live through some honorable things and how honor has showed up in their life. And I'm really just trying to, as I always do on this show, is find what I call the common denominator. You know, what is that thing that no matter who you are, male or female, whatever gender you are, or what generation that you come from, that, how does this thing of honor hold up and for it to be something that is meaningful to you? When we talk about the military, we know that they use the word honor a lot there. And they actually have to develop a medal of honor. Now, I guess if we were to go and to distinguish the word honor from there, we would have a very, very powerful definition. Kev, I know you served in the military as well as you, Hashi, but just give me the way that you look at the Medal of Honor when it comes to being it being a distinguished medal. And I believe that it is not the highest honor. I think the Silver Star is, but it's definitely up there. Kev, you want to give us some feedback on that?
Yeah, you know, the military, it's such a contradictory institution because in many ways it's a lot more progressive than the rest of society. It was the first institution, for example, you know, to break the color barrier. The level of camaraderie, brotherhood, and honor that you find in the military, it's highly refined and it's very at a very high degree. But you know, the shameful thing is, and as a former soldier, you know, I still feel this way. You know, it's a shame that we're part of the invade and destroy industry. Somehow bring these soldiers home and turn them into a rebuilding of America. I mean, just think of the beauty that you know that we could bring into the world. So, I mean, for them to have a Medal of Honor, absolutely they deserve it. There's a lot of heroes in there, but unfortunately we're following the directions of a government that has just lost sight of the fact that it's supposed to serve the people. People are not supposed to serve the government.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that, but I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier in our conversation about what book of honor are you reading from? And so, as you said before, people in the military have sworn an alliance and allegiance to the honor of defending what they believe is defending a country. And the country is grateful for that. And by awarding them this medal because they survived some peril, so to speak. I don't want to get too much into specifics and you know how we feel positively and negatively about some of these things, but I just want to see if we can get a little bit of clarity on, again, the military making this a distinguished medal, and to say that you walk around and you hold a Medal of Honor. In the military, you looked upon as being a very high regarded individual. And by saying that, how do we go about, you know, I believe there's a lot of people that have the Medal of Honor that are homeless. A lot of people that actually were awarded the Medal of Honor that can't get a job. They're treated like derelicts in the street. I believe that there's some derelicts out there in the street right now that maybe they're shell-shocked that got the Medal of Honor. But there's nothing honorable about the way they're being treated. So how can something hold such high esteem, but nevertheless not be treated in that regard? And I guess the answers are many, but I just wanted to sort of bring that out. That, you know, when we talk about when something, any kind of organization or society thinks of something in its highest regard, what is it that we do? You know, you got to remember when a veteran has made his transition, not a veteran, when a soldier has made his transition, and they come to give the flag to the family, they say it's with great honor that we give you this flag. Did they even use the word then? You know, so they're saying it, but because that person served that code of defending this country, we think of that as being an honorable thing. But I was getting at how is it that we can serve something and give it our highest level of honor? So, Ling, you want to chime in on this?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You want to finish your statement?
Was this me? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. Is it something that you wanted to finish the statement?
Oh, me? Okay. There's a distinction between being a soldier and being a warrior. And so
yes.
You're saying a lot of them on the call have been both. So a soldier, an ideal soldier is someone that obeys orders without thought, without question, without hesitation. Warriors, a little bit different. Musashi wrote that the way of the samurai is the twofold path of the sword and the pen, and the warrior should have a taste for both.
That's right.
So so even though that as warriors we have a martial aspect to us, again, there's also, as we spoke about in past phone calls, you know, there's also an inner life to the way of the warrior that the soldier doesn't share with. So, you know, although it's a shame to see a Medal of Honor winner walking the street, why can't we take care of him if we can spend, you know, trillions of dollars to the largest welfare state in the world, which is Israel, and we can't take it on shoulders? Yeah, that's shameful and it's dishonorable. But ultimately, that soldier is responsible for his own life. And if you have goals and dreams, you know, there's a process that you can apply to transport that goal, that dream from the mental realm down to the physical material realm. And so the dojo has to be imbued with more meaning so that we start getting these qualities out there and getting this message out there, you know, that martial arts is more than, you know, punching and kicking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, I can understand that. But, you know, as I was listening to you speak, and I think a lot of people, I'm just going to go out on a limb on this one here, okay? I think a lot of testosterone is put behind the word honor. You know, we tend to think, oh, you got to be out and kill somebody, you got to fight a war, you got to be honorable, you got to stand, you got to be brave, you got to be courageous to be honorable. And I tend to think that it's a misnomer to think that them two have to go together. You can be that, but you got to go out and fight a war to be considered to be a warrior. I mean, every day is a war. If you're putting a roof over your head, you're a warrior for sure. Putting kids through college, you was a big warrior. You was like a general, okay, a five-star general. Because you, half the time you got barely enough to get you through this battle. But you got to find a way to get somebody else through and with a greater purpose than to serve yourself because you want for your brother what you want for yourself. These are honorable traits. And so what I'm saying is we live by these things and they're surrounded by us. And I don't want to put that much testosterone behind it, that it has to be a thing. My grandmother was the biggest warrior that I've ever known. You know, I just started a Facebook page, and again, I hope everybody will come out and be a part of it. It's called My Brother's Keeper. If you go to Facebook and put in My Brother's Keeper and part of it, we will definitely chime you in if you assess yourself to those things that we are talking about. But what I'm really saying to you more than anything is that you don't have to be that kind of in-your-face person kind of a warrior. Harriet Tubman was one of the greatest warriors that I've ever known to this day. Sojourner Truth, they're
right.
Warriors. And they were
female. That's right.
But my point in saying that is that we get to this thing that we feel that you got to be able to do this or that in order to be able to earn this right to be called honorable or to be called warrior. When most people are battling every day and to be able to survive the war or the adversity, it's truly the act of a warrior and it's truly an honorable act in itself. So just to be able to just take it out of this thing where we're talking about men all the time, we have a tendency to come sometimes own things. And rightfully so because, you know, we are leaders. We want to be leaders. We want to be able to lead the way and to be the honorable people. And I don't say that to be a disclaimer against man or gender or whatever. But I don't want to get into this thing where every time at some same time we mention warriors and being honorable and stuff, we go back into this battle thing. But I thank you, Kev, for making the distinction and a warrior and a soldier, because they don't necessarily have to be the same. And as much as you said just now, too, many martial arts schools and instructors do not assess themselves to be, quote-unquote, the warrior. But I tend to think that when they look at that explanation of it, they're thinking some kind of hardcore value has to be put in there, when it is really the virtues, and that's why we said that this series is searching for the virtues. Ahashi, we sort of passed the halfway point here in our second half. I want to see if we can get anybody else in this conversation, if anybody wanted to join. Thanks, Terry, for hanging on. Is anybody else?
Yes, I want to bring in a female perspective of this.
Okay,
Mrs. Baji on the line.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Thanks for tuning in. What's this? This is Friday. No, you probably was out there working out on the mat, but I'm glad that you came to decide to dive in here. But our show today is about honor. And, you know, I always start these conversations about saying, what is your definition? And it's so ironic that you would call in right now, because I had just said to our panel, we have Kevin on the line as well as Hanshi Salim. And I was just saying to them that sometimes we put a little bit much too much testosterone behind the word honor. And I may mention that there are many honorable women. But I just want to see if we can get your definition of what the word honor is to you.
My definition, I feel would be, you know, and it's my opinion, is to be selfless, to actually think about and put someone else before yourself.
Mm. Okay, and then so to have a selfless attitude is to live a life of honor. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that what you're saying?
I think so. I think any time that you know, especially being a mother, you know, if it was a matter of my life or my daughter, of course it would be my life. So I think that sometimes we put it on things that, you know, I think is a broader perspective of just one type of, I think it's, I'm trying to find the words to say what I need to say. I think it's categorized in, when we think of honor or honorable people, you know, they're famous, or like you said, they're in the war. You're not thinking about the people that don't fight wars, that, you know, do selfish things every day that are never recognized. And I think anytime you think of someone else before yourself, or want to help someone or show someone something different, you know, I think that there's honor in that. I think as far as being a teacher in a school system, you know, is honorable. Not too many people have the patience to teach out young people nowadays, you know. So I think it depends on how it's used. But I just feel, in my own personal opinion, that it's just a selfless thing, that I would actually, you know, give my life or help someone without thinking about it hurting me first.
Oh, great. Thank you for that input. Thank you. Kev, you wanted to comment on what Sister Baji was saying?
Yes. You know, in order to be able to do for others, I think it's important that you do for self first. Ultimately, the struggle here on earth is an individual struggle, although by coming together in community, we make that struggle so much easier on ourselves. And I'll give a simple example of that. If we go running together, and we have this commitment every day or 3 days a week, we're going to meet here and go running, it makes us easier to maintain that simple discipline. But if I have to carry you on my back, I'm not going to take too many steps on that day, you know. I mean, I sometimes think that we put a bad label on being so-called selfish, but I think that you can actually do a lot for others, for the world.
Let's take that example real quickly that you just used. Running 3 days with somebody and inspiring them to run, and maybe having to run only one day because you had to carry the person on your back. Which version would be the more honorable one to you? Let me start with you, Hanshi. In that example, which would be the more honorable thing to do?
Mm. I think the one day with me carrying him, which would inspire him to get up and run himself.
Okay. Sister Bodge,
more
so, soundbite on
more,
that. Just using that example, I'm just trying to get to a thought process here. There's no right or wrong answer to this. That
well,
example
I actually was going to give even a different example, being an officer and dealing with adolescents. You know, you have a shootout. Do I think about myself and take cover, or do I think about that child?
Well, yeah,
wow.
I guess, you know, we can do it both ways, but I didn't really want to turn it into a life or death thing because they're
mm-hmm.
shooting at both of y'all, the child and you. So, you know, one person losing life over another is not really, to me, more honorable than anything else. I just wanted to use it on an example that Kev used by running because nobody lost their life there one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just trying to get to a point because when you put it into a life and death thing,
mm-hmm.
it turns into something else altogether now because in your scenario, they're shooting at both of y'all. So it's sort of like you're saying which one takes the bullet. And I don't really, you know, I really wouldn't be able to make my point as much as I want to that way. So if you can just give me a quicker opinion on my version of it, which is which one of them things would be the more honorable thing?
To take the person on my back.
Okay. Kev, what do you think?
It would be heroic to carry the person on your back, and once you finish the race, you know, we'd all be there to give you the Medal of Honor. But you've actually done that person a disservice by not allowing that person to develop the muscles that he needs to run the race himself. And, again, we're using running as a metaphor for life.
Mm.
So,
I appreciate you guys' opinion and stuff. Just when you said that, it sort of coined a phrase that I teach my martial arts students by and the code that I live by virtually. And the phrase runs like this. It says, wait on no man, but leave no man behind.
Right.
And that came to mind when you said that. Because to me, that's when I'm saying that to a student, I'm teaching him a code of honor. That everybody has the inevitable right to be able to run. And let's say this man didn't have no legs. You started out running with him. To run with him for 3 days, to me, is a more honorable thing. But the day that he decides not to run is not the day that I should stop, because the more honorable thing would be is to go and to continue to be an inspiration to him, so that in hindsight, maybe not today, maybe even next week, that he would see that he had just as much capability of doing as me. You see, all too often I tend to think that we're teaching our children and everybody else around us and giving them the impression that if it's not done in this time and space or whatever, then it has no more value, it has no more honor, it has no more worth. And that's not true. Just like we said earlier about the lifestyles, when you decide to change, the day you decide to make that change in your lifestyle and do the honorable thing, you become the honorable person. We
that's
said
right.
that by using the example of Minister Malcolm. All right, I mean, he never hit the fact of what he did. But the day that he decided that's enough, the smoking, the drinking, and everything else he did, that's it. It's done. But when we start thinking if we can't keep up, then you went on without me, then we start hating it and hating the person who went on, hating the act because it still went on. And that's why today too much of our youth is in the mindset that they are, because they tend to think, you went on to finish school, so you know what? Later for you, I'm going to blow you away on the basketball court. Because you finished, subliminally, somebody went on in life. They stood still. Life is still moving, and it's slapping them in the face every day. But it's telling them you can pick yourself and go up. There's somebody who put up a YouTube video the other day to show a person that was running a marathon race, and then he got to the end, and his legs gave away from him. And he took himself and turned to the sideways and rolled across the finish line.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes,
another race with somebody, you know, that the apparatus that they have where people don't have legs, but they have like a little springboard thing, where they were running races with no legs and running races. One person was driving a car with 1 foot. I don't know why I get those videos to be coming to me like that, but
there's
inspirations to me to show what the human spirit can do, and it's that way until the day that you take your last breath. I can attest to that by watching my Supreme Grandmaster Felicitation, Professor V, to his last breath, teach a martial art class on his deathbed. I watched that happen. I watched the great ones serve honorably to the thing that they lived their life by and take their last breath loving it. That's an inspiration to those that go on, like myself, while I'm able to talk the way that I'm talking now, while I'm able to maybe inspire somebody else. As you just said to Ashtita Kevin Thompson, Kevin, you said to him that it was him that inspired you to do what you're doing right now. And that was a living testament to him. And trust me, that day it made a difference to him. When I went to his school and did a seminar there, he was taken back with how much of our philosophies were the same. And this goes back to the Samurai movie, like I said before. I choose to see another warrior walk beside me on this planet. See, when we recognize the truth in each other, we have to serve it. Because that's what it's all about. Remember, the term Samurai is to serve. And those are warriors. Right. That's their whole thing, was to serve. You know, and in my religion, in Islam, it is to serve. Our mission is, through our intention, is to serve. If you break everything down, it's all about that. It's about servitude. But to what? To thyself first be true, and then everything else will follow it. So when I say wait on no man, but leave no man behind, it's sort of an oxymoron. Well, what am I doing? Am I waiting on you if I'm leaving you? No. You got to decide like we decided, that when we first started this mission that we were going to train together for 3 days. By me carrying you the 1 day, that's not serving the mission.
Hmm.
I think the more selfless act is to be able to, the more honorable act, and even the person who stayed behind should feel good about this person who went on, and that serves as an inspiration for them to get up and follow them. Maybe the next day, maybe the next week, roll across the finish line, but finish, because you got the right to do that. You're still drawing breath. Do it. And this is what we talk about when we say warriors. This is what we talk about when we talk about integrity. These are the things that the Marines, the SEALs, and the Navy team, when they say that they're leaving no man behind, this is what they're talking about. They don't leave no man on a battlefield. That's honor. That's integrity. All right? There are many people that have done things of that nature. And, again, to get away from testosterone, I'm sorry, Sister Baja, you know.
No, I'm listening.
Yeah, I was doing my little testosterone thing there, even though I didn't say that. But, but I know that you could add to the story. As I said before, some of my greatest heroes are females. I read and love to watch stories about Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth. But you ever notice how nobody ain't never made a movie about neither one of them yet? You ever notice that? You ever notice that we ain't never heard nothing about Frederick Douglass? Nobody that told the tenacity of honor and integrity, loyalty, all of those characteristics of Bushidoism or whatever we want to call it, are there in certain people, but it's never personified. Do you know why? Because if we get a whole bunch of people doing a whole bunch of honorable things and following a whole bunch of honorable codes and living by a code of honor, then maybe we'll pull our pants up. Maybe we'll respect women. Maybe we'll do something in our neighborhoods. And maybe we'll think about something else other than ourselves on a daily basis, because we are always keeping ourselves walking the path of righteousness. I mean, that's just my comment. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole here. But, you know, when I talk about the true meaning of something, I'm always trying to dig a little bit deeper than the actual spelling of the word. And because I tend to think it means different things to different people, but they all hold a common denominator. Hanchi, I know you had a little bit of subject matter you wanted to put on this. Before I let Sister Baji go, did you want to ask her any questions, anything you have for her?
Yes, ma'am. This has something to do with law enforcement, if you will, in an abstract way. But when we talk about honor, I look at this guy, and I need your opinion, Snowden. Everybody knows who I'm talking about that gave up the NSA secrets.
Mm-hmm.
He had to flee to Russia. Are you with me?
Right.
I want to know, do you think he did the honorable thing as far as the American citizen is concerned, as opposed to honoring his job at the NSA? I'm not trying to be political. I just want to get a little sound bite from everybody on that one.
Okay, I'll jump in. I think that Eric Snowden is a model citizen. I mean, what he basically did is show that our government was spying on us, treating us as if we're the occupants of an occupied nation, and they did it in such a way that they were violating the Constitution and committing a felony crime. So why is it that so many Americans are more angry at him than the government that's trampling the Constitution?
Okay. Sister Baja.
Yes.
Oh, okay, anybody?
No, Sister Baja, go ahead.
You could come back to me on that one.
Well, you know, and again, I guess, you know, we don't want to get nobody into no political state of thing. But again, my opinion is sort of a little bit to the left, I guess, because I don't know how he or anybody else could live in America and not know that that goes on a daily basis. And there have been many whistleblowers and things of that nature, and I don't know how much of an effect that that would have from there. There is something to be said about when and how and where you do something. And I'm not quite sure what was supposed to be accomplished by that, because ain't nothing changed. And I don't think that nothing was said that we don't know. One thing about America is that we have a tendency to tell on ourselves. We make movies about that kind of stuff all the time. You know, we expose presidents for stuff like that. We ain't that what Nixon did? You know, he stole from the government. You know, we got all kinds of examples in front of us. Know that this kind of thing goes on, or Big Brother's there all the time. So his actions, what he did, I'm not quite sure if I could use the word honor in that on any level, because I'm trying to be frank about what was he being honorable to. It definitely wasn't his country. It wasn't the code of honesty. It wasn't – so I don't know. Help me.
I think he was trying to be honest with his conscience, to live with himself.
Well, I'm quite sure speaking, his conscience bothered him prior to that particular subject, so I don't
–
you know what I'm saying? To thy self be true. If you got that much of a haunting conscience, then, you know, maybe you should check some other stuff that you do along the way, you know, be real. I mean, I'm not defending him. I'm not defending the position by saying that he shouldn't have done that. I'm just saying is that I just like for people to be able to make a little bit clearer to me, because I think it's a lot of other ways that he could have made a bigger difference. You know, in other words, make things go bump in the night and make the government wonder, what was that? How did they know that? Who knew that? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, the guerrilla warfare is still to this day warfare. That's the original warfare. And it's always been superior to the red coats lining up and all the rest of that kind of stuff that they've been doing, you know, traditional war. You can make all the rules you want for war. It's never going to be a thing that's ever won in an honorable way. You know, dropping bombs on 3 million people wasn't honorable neither, civilians. My point in saying is that let's not get into this thing where we are trying to make him a hero here or something, or anybody else to do something like that. If you got information like that and – yeah, I guess you do have to get out of this country.
My point that I was trying to make, and Sister Baja, I'm not going to put you on this platform here. The point I was trying to make is this. If I feel that you're doing something within an organization, whether it be a dojo or whatever it may be, and what you're doing is not honorable, do I call you to account for it, or do I keep it to myself? Let me put it this way. If I know that you are sensei, chief instructor, whatever, and you're having an affair with a married woman that's in the dojo and it's affecting the dojo, do I step up and talk to you about it, or do I keep it to myself and say it's not my business? You know, but you know he's not or she's not walking the walk. And talk, you know. And that, you know, how do you feel about that one?
I think it really depends on the relationship you have with a person. I think putting anybody on blast or on attack without giving them the benefit of the doubt of explaining themselves is wrong. you know. But if you pulled the person to the side and you had a conversation like, listen, I don't think that, you know, this is right. Yeah, they may tell you, mind your business, you have nothing to do with it. But at least you can say, you know what, I didn't stand by and do nothing. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say bring them to the front of the class and expose them because, you know, that's not right either. I don't think so. You know, but if I have that type of relationship with somebody, yes, I still, you know, that's like me being on a job, you know, and my partner does something wrong. Do I pick up the phone and call internal affairs or do I pull him to the side and say, listen, I'm not losing my job for you. What you did was wrong. And the next time you compromise me, we're going to have a problem. Now you can take it to a level of, okay, let me let you know what you did is wrong just because I didn't immediately tell on you doesn't make it right. But I do think when you're dealing with any organization, now it depends on the relationship that you have with people. You know,
yes, sir. Yes,
that's
ma'am.
That's my opinion on that.
Well, let me just, you know, I'm going to let you go, Sister Bajie, but let me just tell you, this is a personal story that happened to me about a relative that I have that's in the police department and what happened to him. I'm just going to cut to the chase in the story. He was his partner, and his partner was dirty. And he knew that his partner was dirty, and he went to his partner and he told him. He said, what you just did is you put me in a very, very bad position, and you have disrespected and dishonored me. This is the exact words that he said to me, and I happen to raise this nephew, so I guess maybe that's why he used those words. But what he did was, and how he dealt with it was, he said, well, this is what you're going to do. He put the individual on the spot, and he told him that you're going to ask for another partner. I'm going to take the weight for it, and you're going to tell them anything you want to tell them, that I'm disrespectful to you, that you don't like me, or whatever, but you're going to dissolve this partnership for me, and if you don't, then there'll be a consequence, and he walked away. Now, the reason why I put it that way is because what I'm saying to you is that now that this person has put you into this situation and made you enlighten up this situation, they have dishonored you. They have no respect for you and what you know about them and what you think about them. So why are you carrying away from it? You put it back on them, and then you let them straighten it out. And if they don't straighten it out, then it's a consequence. So now you don't have to feel like you're telling on nobody or doing nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let them figure it out because they're the ones that created the mess to clean up the mess. As simple as that.
There you go.
So I say to you, that when you live an honorable life, you work like that. You think like that. You don't stand there contemplating, oh, what am I going to do now? And should I do this? Should I do that? And should I give up my integrity? Or should I put my honor on the line because of what they're doing? My honor is not for sale, nor is my integrity.
Sir.
I'm going to stand true to what I know and what I do. And what you're going to do is you're going to fix it. Now, take this back to what we say when we, as martial artists, when somebody enters our space. Yeah, give me your money, or I'll take your life. How about I don't do neither one of them, okay? Because what I'm going to do here is we're going to end this the way that I want. Warrior chooses his own death, all right? Because you have to understand that you can die a thousand deaths if you don't stand for something along the way. And, again, this is why I say, much like in our society, the youth today are walking dead because they don't stand for anything. Everything is up for sale. Everything, all right?
Yes.
Everything that they do has no integrity. You know, the highest dollar, the highest bidder, whatever it is. And then you see when they do get the money, the fame, the whatever it is, they don't even know what to do with it. So my point, what was all that for? I mean, to get out, you have individuals nowadays to get out of jail, and within 72 hours, they're finding something to get themselves back in, whether they got caught or not. But they automatically violating the parole because the parole had a set of standards that you're supposed to be able to govern yourself by to put you back on track. You don't want to be on track. It goes back to what I said earlier. Life is about choices. And hopefully the virtues of Bushido are some choices that you make early on. And with that, then maybe you can develop a lifestyle that can serve you instead of one trying to serve you up. That's just my opinion. Again,
I have a question.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to make sure that no one else is in the back office. I don't see anybody else back there. Thank you again. Go ahead, sister. I'm listening.
I guess my question would be, do you think that honor is something that's taught to you, or do you think that it's something that a person just learns later on in life?
Well, you know, it's Kevin. I keep going back to Kevin's comment because he early on says something about it's a lifestyle or death style. I'm sorry, Kev, but I got to put that on a T-shirt, brother, because that's a heavy that's a heavy line right there.
I'm stealing that one too.
Yeah, that was right on time because you pick the style. You know, you pick the style with your clothing. You know, you could pick this style too, because these styles are part of your development. You know, I just put a clip up on Facebook on my page, Hassan Khalifa. Anybody who's listening can go there, and you'll see it's a little African village. And it's a little young boy. Hashi, did you see that clip I put up?
Yes, sir.
And it's a little African boy there. Please, if anybody's on the line, Kev, please go to my page and take a look at that, Sister Baja. And you'll see what I mean about is it taught to you or not. And just a brief description in this clip. It's a little boy. I don't think, what is it, Hashi? He couldn't have been more than two.
Three or four?
If that old? Right. Yeah, if that three, I wouldn't give him four. The father or somebody in the thing is pulling one of the little children away, a little girl about 3 years old. And this little boy, 3 years old, goes and tries to defend and pull the little girl away from him. Then he goes and pulls another little boy. He goes over there and holds the little boy back and pulls him to safety. And so, they're like testing the little boy. So they go back to the little girl. The little girl's screaming. And then he goes and puts himself in between there, and he's holding and biting the guy's arm or whatever. And then after he gets the both little kids to safety, he comes back and gets a rock and throws at the guy. I mean, it's priceless. You got to see it.
And it's thick.
But my point in saying it is at three, you got to think, what does he know about protecting anybody? And he definitely is putting himself in harm's way. And who taught him that, and what did he see?
Mm-hmm.
You know that's what you're supposed to do is be your brother's keeper. Who taught him that? And where did he get that from? So, again, it's styles. Lifestyles, and I believe in this village there was, maybe there was a lot of children kidnapping, because that's another untold story that's going on in Africa about taking young kids, and I believe the one that came to light just recently is when they went to that school and stole all those girls. And that sort of got swept under the rug, and we don't hear about that no more neither, and they took more than 50 young girls. So that child slavery thing is very, very popular. But this little boy, no more than 3 years old, was acting as his brother's keeper, and he was not just pulling away, he was fighting for
what he was,
trying to get this assailant off of his siblings in the village. And he wasn't satisfied until he got them both to safety and then tried to close the door behind him, and then he came back out through a rock. Like,
Soki, you sure that wasn't one of your students?
I can look at that clip a thousand times.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's one of your students, Soki.
It was a beautiful inspiration.
We're gonna adopt
it. Yeah,
beautiful
inspiration. So if you guys get a chance, go to the Facebook page, My Brother's Keeper. It's listed on there too. That's something that I put together so that we can be in the like-mindedness of a community of thought process that it takes to be able to move a culture ahead. And I'm not just saying a level of society, just the way you think. Like-minded people can change things overnight if you get enough of them together. So if you are your brother's keeper, try to serve that as many ways as you possibly can. Say it as loud as you can, and maybe it'll echo to somebody and act as a beacon where they can find you and become more lifestyle. I know me and Kevin, we've talked, well, he and I have been into network marketing for some time, and we talked about the mindset of people doing for each other and creating revenue for each other to be able to do their own subsidies and stuff like that, which seems to just go right over people's head. But, again, we're talking about mindset. That's mindset on a financial basis, mindset on a cultural basis, mindset on anything really starts with that. And honor comes into play here as well. So I thank you, panel, for being with me on the show and the subject matter as we are in search of some of the virtues. Kevin, did you have any closing statements? We've got about maybe 10 more minutes of the show.
So quote a great master, the martial art, do right, send a warrior.
You got to remember that, brother. Yeah, I put that on a shirt a couple of years ago, and you still remember that, right? You know, and yes, sir. Am I saying that? I meant to get yourself into the position of knowing that you're the warrior that you should be sending. You know, I think that one of the most profound lines in a speech that I heard our President Obama say, and I was very impressed with all of his speeches, it was something to the word, and I'm not quoting it right, but something to the way of saying, we need to stop waiting for the hero to come. We got to be our own hero, or something to that effect. Does anybody remember the quote that I'm talking about here?
No, sir.
We waited for someone to come rescue us, and we are our own rescuers. They're not coming, you know. We're waiting. We keep looking on the horizon, waiting for somebody to come rescue us. They're not coming. You're already here. You're the rescuer. So, you know, we say warrior, that's what we mean. You know, you got to be the first one to understand. You're the first responder, you know. And by saying that, it's from that point there, and I can throw you 1,000 ropes, but if you don't reach for them, what can I do for you? So, as Kev said, do right and send the warrior. And you know, let that warrior within come out in everything that we do. Sister Baja, do you have any closing statements? Thank you for coming on the show.
No, I'd just like to thank you guys. Every Friday I learn something new, and I take it with me, and I actually share it with other people. So I do appreciate this radio show on Fridays because, you know, you inspire people in different ways, because I don't think it's just about martial arts. It's just life lessons that you take with you every day.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. At least you didn't give me no old jokes today, so we appreciate it because you come on here.
Well, when you said Harriet Tubman, I started to. I said, "No, I want to push it because they're going to really come and look for me now."
She wanted to know if we went to school.
That's your question. No, we did not know Harriet Tubman personally.
We didn't go to school.
Exactly.
We didn't go to school with her.
All right, so we got that cleared up. Brother Kev, anything on your calendar coming up?
Nothing.
Okay, and as we go into the summer months, you know, I'm going to wish everybody a safe summer as we go on. We've seen so many stories here in the news about chokeouts and stuff. I think there's two cop stories already about chokeouts and things of this nature. We come into these stories every summer. It really is a black eye to our law enforcement because there's a lot of people on there that is trying to do the right thing and live an honorable life. There's some on there that they really are hiding behind, you know, some rules that allow them to be doing some very dishonorable things and sort of get away with it. No more than 15 minutes before the show, again, I was looking at the clip that somebody sent me, and the perpetrator, I guess, did something to disrespect the policeman. He was getting the best of the policeman. He wasn't hitting them, but he was getting the best of them. This was a big guy. The policeman was a big guy. And he was getting the best of them because a lot of them are not skilled. You know, they're big, but they're not skilled. They can't handle themselves. But anyway, to make a long story short, when the backup came and they got the guy down on the ground, they had him with the camera on him because he knew he was being filmed. The cop just went and kicked and stomped the guy in the head with his hands behind his back laying on the ground. I mean, planted his head into the ground. And without no remorse, you know, he didn't do it like he was trying to hide it or whatever. And then turned towards the camera like, "Here, look, here's my face." Because, again, he knows that there's a set of laws that's already going to let him off. And so, again, it goes back to where's the honor in the individual? Where's the honor in the four cops that had him down, that didn't anticipate the guy stomping him in the head? Like I said before, when is that I'm going to get you in the locker room and tell you exactly what I think to you eye to eye and let you know if you ever do something like that again around me? It ain't gonna be a good day for you. Now you can figure out what you want to do. You want to make me the perpetrator? Let's go. But you know that's a whole other story. But again, I'm just trying to show you how people live behind an organization that's supposed to be an honorable thing. They need to read the message on the side of the car, which says,
and it gives a bad name to all of NYPD. You know, they don't look at just that the individual. It's senseless. It's very
senseless all the way around. Like, so, we see a lot of people. Did someone else have 5 more minutes of the show? Someone else came in the back office. Said maybe perhaps someone had a comment.
Yes, sir. Let me find out who it is. Okay, hold on.
Okay. Again, panel, I thank you for coming in and serving as some light turn on. And I guess y'all work for Con Edison or what? But definitely turn the light on here and helping me bring some more understanding to the word honor. We're going to pick up another virtue next week, so if you can, tell a friend, and maybe we can go into this a little bit deeper and try to make all of these things connect. But just to go down a quick laundry list of what we came up with already, we were talking about the definition of honor and what is your definition. And we had earlier in the show, I'm going to let you in a minute, Haji, We had earlier in the show where we had said that we're making a laundry list, and we said, what is some of the meanings of honor? I mean, how can you as a martial artist show honor? And I listed down here, it says keep your word was one of the words, one of the virtues. Giving back in the way of integrity, Brother Kevin had added to that. And having a selfless attitude, Sister Baja added to that. So I think that those are some great things to add to our list. I think I have one more person in the back office. Maybe we can get them in here before the show closes. But, again, thank you, panel, for being on the show.
This is True Jones.
Oh, Brother True's on the line?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, brother. Good to hear you, brother. You're a traveling warrior, brother. I thought you – are you still driving or are you at your destination?
I'm at my destination, yes.
Okay, so I appreciate you calling in. I know you're traveling. Our show today is about honor. And we were asking everybody to add to the laundry list of things that you can do that's honorable. I've got about maybe 5 more minutes to the show. You want to chime in on that?
Well,
honorable act.
The basic that I would say is being responsible. Except, you know, responsibility is very important. Being responsible in, you know, all aspects of dealing with those that are under you and those that are over you in rank. Yeah. Being responsible what works in conjunction with that is with responsibility is authority. In order to exercise an authority rightfully, you have to be responsible.
Okay. Well, I like that. I mean, that's a great thing, responsibility. Being responsible, and that's something that a lot of people try to shift responsibility on a daily basis. You know, it ain't my fault, but it ain't my job, it ain't my responsibility. Some are even quote that directly and say it's not my responsibility. So, again, I guess that's a great thing to add, and that's a fourth thing to add to the list. As I said, we play these shows back, you know, we try to give our listeners some type of insight. There's a lot of people that listen to this show that don't call in. So if you listen to us on the browser, again, thank you for being part of Making a Connection. But as we start to, you know, just share some thoughts in our mind, you know, we're not condescending by saying that that person's opinion doesn't count. Everyone's opinion counts here. And I can tell you, as Sister Bobby said, I've learned something for every show that that you guys have helped contribute to. So thank you again for being on the show and making a contribution. So tell a friend, and hopefully we see you guys back on the next show. Hanshi, did you have any closing comments before we close the show out?
Yes, it's going to be real brief. I've always looked at the word honor all my life. And to me, one of the most honorable people I've ever known was my dad. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, you know, anybody I meet, you know, well, who's your hero? It wasn't a sports figure or anybody like that. It was my dad, because he did the right thing, you see. And those that know me know what I'm talking about. And, you know, he raised 9 children by himself, see, in a time where it would have been easy for him to say, well, let me, I don't know if it was social services was back then, whatever. It would have been easy for him to say, well, you go ahead and take them because I want to live my life. I can't deal with these children. Mm-hmm. But he raised 9 children by himself, you know, and to me, that is the utmost honorable thing as a man that you can do, or as a person you can do.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that's my statement.
Yes, sir. Well, much respect to him. As you said before, it is the thing that lives on after you. And hopefully that is the thing that will be written on my tombstone as part of my epitaph, and hopefully that word is in the eulogy when they speak about my deeds as well, and hopefully that will leave the room knowing that it's not a sad day, it's just a continuation, because hopefully I would have inspired someone else to be honorable as well. So
yes,
I definitely
sir.
Understand what you're talking about, and I appreciate that. Kev, thank you again for coming on the show. Sister Baja, thank you, and Brother True, traveling warrior, thank you again for being able to chime in on time as well. So, whatever. If everything is in order, Hanshi, I'm just going to bid everybody a do here, and the next time it will be better. Better be blessed. Thank you.
All right.
Don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
You know, come on, John. Can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
Get an equal share, and until you're giving him that, there'll be no peace.